So God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the way you're blessing. We thank you for the way you're working. And today, Lord, as we kind of wrap up this issue about growing in spiritual maturity, I pray, Lord, that it will be transformational in our lives. I pray that this message, you will remember it. You know, sometimes a lot of messages, you get a great feeling from it, you get an inspiration from it, but a couple of days later, you can hardly remember what you heard. I pray that would not be the case. Amen? Somebody say amen. So God, help us with this, we pray. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ behind, let us press on to maturity. Say it with me. Let us press on to maturity. Let us not have to lay another foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. I pray that, in other words, we wouldn't have to keep going back saying, God, I want to get saved all over again. God, I'm sorry, I'm going to do better this week. You know, I'm going to repent, and I'm going to try to really believe you this week. I didn't believe you last week, but this week I'm going to really try. I don't want to have a seesaw Christianity. Somebody say amen. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be steadfast and unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. I want to know that in my heart, that my faith will be rewarded. What you do in faith, what you do in obedience, and what you do in love is always a blessing. I want to say that again because we've been studying specifically those three things, faith, love, and obedience. When you are inspired to live out faith, to speak faith, to think faith, to act faithfully, when you're inspired to be more loving than you've ever been before, or to forgive again, or to love again, or to ask for forgiveness, you will be blessed. When you are daring enough to be more obedient to God this year than you were last year, you will be blessed. God is stretching the church. God is causing us in this very uncertain time to get our roots deeper in the Lord. Why is he doing this? Because I believe there's a great harvest. There's a great future. There's a great season coming where God is going to say, I want everyone ready. I want my army to be in tip-top shape. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. God wants his people to be in tip-top shape, battle ready, fighting ready to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. So the question again this morning is, who is going to use their faith, love, and obedience to reach a world that is growing farther and farther away from God? How do I know that? Watch television. Watch the typical program on television that 10 or 15 or even less, maybe 5 years ago, you wouldn't see some of the very, very in-your-face immorality and the just very brazen immorality and sin being held up as something to be celebrated. Not only is sin no longer sin, but now we are told that we're supposed to celebrate sinful behavior. The world is getting farther and farther from God. Christianity is now being looked as something that is unhealthy for the general public. The world wants us as Christians to go back and hide in a closet while everybody else is coming out of the closet. Come on now. This is a critical hour because the world is changing rapidly. I feel like there's a prophetic mandate on me today. I'm serious when I'm saying this. I mean, I know pastors say this all the time, but those of you who know me really well know that I'm taking this very seriously. The times are changing. Turn to your neighbor and say, times are changing very rapidly. And God is asking this question. Who can I count on to be alert? Who can I count on to be awake? Who can I count on to be ready to obey when I speak the word? Hallelujah. Speak the word, and your servant will obey. Somebody say amen. Mature followers of Christ see opportunity in difficult seasons. If you are mature in your love, mature in your faith, and mature in your obedience, I have never felt the laser beam of God's Holy Spirit on my heart as I have in these last 6 months. I'm just going to get real with you guys. I feel like God's been speaking and dealing with Pastor David. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. This is time to be mature in Christ. This is not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to second guess God. It's not time to just go along with the crowd. Hallelujah. It's not time to fall behind. We need to keep in step with Jesus. And I'm telling you, just religion alone will not get the job done. You might be saying, well, you know, I go to church. I put my offering in. I even occasionally watch Christian television. That's all well and good. But only you and God know how mature you are growing, how much you're really listening, how much you're really following, and how many of those same things that you've been tripped up with all your life are you still getting tripped up with? I don't know. I don't. You know. You know, that one area where the devil still pushes your button. Is it anger? Is it insecurity? Is it fear? Is it low self-esteem? Whatever it is that he will try to exploit that area in your life until you close the door and you say that you can no longer have entrance into this part of my life because it's occupied by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. No vacancy. Somebody say, no vacancy. My life is full of Jesus. I don't have any room for any demons. Come on now. I don't need any demonic thinking. I don't need any demonic anger. I don't need any demonic lust. I don't need pornography. I want Jesus in the morning. I want Jesus at noon. And I want Jesus at night. Hallelujah. I want my heart to be full of Jesus. Nothing less will do. And I have a word for Catalyst this morning. Our community is waiting. Our world is waiting for people with solid, rock-solid convictions to have faith, love, and obedience to show them a better way. There is a better way. The world is going nuts right now between the political division and the fighting in the streets and the racial division and all of these things that are happening and the isolation and fear about the, is there going to be a resurgence in the fall, in the winter? Are we all going to die? There's so many terrible things that are occupying people's minds right now. But we have an answer. Somebody say, we have an answer. We have a treasure, the Bible says, in these jars of clay. I may have a jar of clay, but this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. We have what the world needs. We have a way that brings forgiveness for those who are hating each other right now. Christianity is a movement of forgiveness of sins. Christianity is a movement of purpose. We have a purpose for living. I know what I'm living for. I'm living for the kingdom of God. For all the kingdoms of this earth will soon pass away. But the kingdom of our God and his Christ will reign forever and ever. And all the church said, hallelujah. Are you ready for this adventure? Are you ready to be more fruitful than you've ever been before? Are you ready to be more radically obedient than you've ever? Are you ready to be more patiently loving than you've ever been before? 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. Woo! Somebody say, I put away childish things. Are you ready to follow Jesus out of the rut of immaturity and into a lifestyle of maturity? Hallelujah. Are you ready to follow Jesus into a lifestyle of mature faith, mature love, and mature obedience? There are so many wonderful examples in the Bible and in contemporary history where the difference between success and failure, the contest between good and evil, faith and fear, was won by people with a belief in God that was lived out with boldness, maturity, and love and obedience. Amen? I want to say that again, and don't be distracted. Brother Landry, just help this brother if he needs help, okay? I want to say this again. There are so many examples in the Bible and in contemporary history where the difference between success and failure, between good and evil, between faith and fear was won by people who had this rock-solid belief in God. And they said, no matter what I'm facing, I'm going to be godly. You know, whatever others may do, I'm going to be godly. I mean, an example of this is little David in the Bible, where Goliath is challenging the people of God. 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath gets up there and he says, where, send me a man who can, you know, defeat me. Who are you, Israel? You're nobody. You can't win this battle. And he's just pulling out, you know, and shouting out all of these obscenities and curses and everything. And the army of Saul was getting out there, and they mustered the army every morning. But every time they saw Goliath, they're like, ah, they're running the other way. But in that season, listen, there was a little shepherd boy with a slingshot who said, you know what? Who are you compared to God? Goliath, who are you compared to my God? Why should you defy the armies of Israel? Why should you insult the name of the Lord our God? And in that season, David won the battle because he just said to himself, you know what? You may be a giant, but I'm connected to the God of heaven who created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. You come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the God of Israel whom you have defied. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I expect to prevail not because of how slick I am, not because of how strong I am, because of who I belong to. Because of who I belong to. Hallelujah. I belong to the King. Woo! I'm a child of His love. And He never forsaketh His own. He will call me someday to my palace above, where I shall dwell by His heavenly throne. Hallelujah. So today you have a choice. The choice could never be any more critical. And I want to give you, in this closing message on the series of growing spiritually mature, I want to give you three powerful tools, powerful principles that I have found in my own personal life have helped me over the years, all right? These are my top three that have helped me to go through life with my eyes on Jesus. Number one, you have to start with motivation. It starts with motivation. What is your motivation? Motivation is so important. I cannot emphasize it enough. Because what we find is that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love in Christ, has set us free from the spirit of sin and death. When we were in the world and we were without Christ, we had the wrong motivation. We were slaves to fear. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to the lower instincts in life. Okay? But when I became a Christian, I was under new management. Hallelujah. My life is under new management. And I am no longer a slave to fear. Hallelujah. I am no longer under condemnation. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the King. And it's that love that He has for me that is my confidence. Herein is love. Not that we love God. What is the biggest thing about love? It's not our love for God. It's the fact that He loved us first and gave Himself to be a sacrifice for our sins. Somebody say amen. So it's the love of God. It's greater than fear. It's greater than religious obligation. There's a lot of things that, you know, you'll do because you're disciplined. There's things that you'll do because you feel obligation to do them. But there are some things where you go way above and beyond because of love. When a mother gets up in the middle of the night, the baby's crying again. And the baby is colicky and he's, or she is, you know, messed up in their diaper. And then the husband says, honey, can you please go and get the baby this time? And I have to say, I don't know. I know men have done their duty, and we should. But there's nobody like a mother that cares for that child. Somebody, come on. And you tell, you know, you get a mama bear with a doctor, and the doctor says something, talking some smack about your child. I've seen some moms get in some doctors' faces. Hallelujah. There's nothing like love. Love is the greatest motivation. Love will always win out over fear. Love will always win out over hate. But you see, in order to have God's love in us, we have to have that connection with Jesus. There has to be this daily intimacy with Christ. Jesus said in John 15, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me," in other words, those who are in a spiritual union with me, "will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me," in other words, you stay spiritually united to me, my words in you, "you can ask whatever you will and it will be done. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory and honor to the Father." In other words, what he's saying is the fruit that comes out of our life, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, all of the fruits of the Spirit, right? The Christian life, all come as a result of our relationship, this intimacy, this union. Just like a branch, as long as it's connected to a tree, it produces leaves, it produces fruit. What happens if you break the branch off? It starts to die. At the same token, if you keep the branch on there, does the branch have a nervous breakdown about whether or not it's going to grow leaves? It's not worried about growing leaves. It just says, "Hey, man, I'm an apple tree. I'm going to have apples. This is cool. All I have to do is stay connected to the trunk of the tree. And as long as I stay connected, I am okay." Life of God flows into me through intimacy, prayer. Daily saying yes to Jesus. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you're distant, if you cool off, I'm not judging you, because I tell you, I got enough of a job keeping myself on fire for God. But I am going to preach the truth in love. So I'm going to encourage you to stay as close to Jesus as you can. So there are things that enhance, and this is a whole study in itself, there are things that enhance intimacy with God. They help facilitate, just like a relate. What facilitates closeness in a relationship? Having common interests, being together, being kind to one another, caring for each other, communicating with each other. All the things that enhance a human relationship between a husband and wife, for example, or best friends. Also, in the same sense, we have to continue to maintain with God. We got to stay in his word. We got to keep current in our prayer. If we messed up, we can't hide it. God knows if we mess up, right? We got to keep current. We have to draw near to him. And as long as we stay close in that spiritual union with God through Christ, we will bear fruit. There will be a lot of love in your life. Praise God. There will be a lot of love in your life. And here's what happens. When this fruit is coming from your life, when you are connected to the vine, you go from rule-keeping and guilt trips, thank you, Lonnie, to a lifestyle that is yielded and trusting Christ. Because, as I said before, love is a greater motivator than guilt. And, you know, when we were kids, you better go to church. You better clean your room. You better not lie because the devil will get you, you know. We scared our kids, you know, with a lot of bad theology. Somebody say amen. We scared our kids with bad theology, saying, God's going to punish you, you know. Not exactly like that. But the point is this. God's got so much more love than you can imagine. God's got enough love for your family. I don't know why I'm going on with this today, but I just feel so strong about it. So strong. And I know the intercessors are praying for me right now. God wants you to go from religion to such a deep relationship. You won't have to be told, do this, do that. You better do this. You better do that. You better do it. You didn't pray. You didn't read your Bible. It'll be a joy to worship. Hallelujah. It'll be a fun to study the Bible. It'll be a pleasure to get alone in your room and lift your hands. It's not a duty. It's not a chore. It's not an obligation. It's a joy to be in His presence. It's a joy to obey God. Hallelujah. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. When you feel complete in Christ, His loving arms around you. If we cooperate with His spiritual nature in us through the wonderful union we have with Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will slowly transform us into a different person. The seed of the Holy Spirit inside it will eventually take over. As we yield, we say, yes, yes, Lord, on a daily basis. It makes us into a Jesus tree. Hallelujah. Just like a seed of an apple turns into an apple tree. A seed of a pear becomes a pear tree. When the Holy Spirit puts the Jesus seed in you, you become a Jesus tree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today I want to encourage you, let your motivation, the greatest motivation, this is just point one, but I'm going to move quickly. The greatest motivation of all is a deep personal relationship with Jesus that the devil cannot steal, he cannot shake, he cannot break, he cannot interfere. No matter what he says, you know you belong to Jesus. And there's no better deal out there than Jesus. Number two, a maturing believer sees that even trials and tests are an opportunity to grow deeper in love, faith, and obedience. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed or mature, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So point number two, principle number two that I found in my life is realize that the trials and the testings of our life are opportunities to grow. I shouldn't be angry with God. And, you know, anger is a big issue because we can really be angry with God for a long time. I'm just going to just take a little rabbit trail right here. There was a time in my life while I was in the ministry. Some of you may remember I told this story that I was carrying this grudge towards God secretly in my heart, even though I was still performing in the ministry, getting up in the pulpit, trying to do my best. And then one day when a crisis happened in my life, God spoke to me almost audibly. And guess what he said to me? Why have you withheld your affection from me? Nobody knew. Nobody knew. But a loving father knows when somebody's withholding their affection. Ooh, I feel like we should have an altar call right now. Trials. Trials can make you bitter or better. Trials can separate you, can harden you, can do a lot of bad things in your life. But as a believer in Christ, you realize there's no temptation that has taken us, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted or tested above what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will allow a way out, a way of escape, that you may bear it. Because these things only come to make me strong, like Andre Crouch said. Bless God, I know these trials only came to make me strong. So we don't quit on God. This is a word for somebody today. God says, let's have less roller coaster and more consistency in your life. How many of you would describe your life like a roller coaster? Up, and then all of a sudden you come to the top, and then woof! I had one of those days on Tuesday, and I shared with Lonnie and the other day. I think Nikki, too, I told them. We were having a meal together. And I said, wow, I got really ambushed. I got ambushed on Tuesday. And I felt like the wind just came out of me. Have you ever been there? It goes to show you we're all in this together. We all go through this. But I listened to my wife, I prayed, and I tried to get back on my feet, and I let these principles that I've believed in all my life sustain me. You see, you got to have some core values. Your core values will serve you in the times of trial. If you're a person who has established the habit of love, the habit of faith, the habit of obedience, if those things are core values to you, you're going to see some tremendous breakthroughs. You're going to see some great victories. Somebody say amen. In our trials, the Lord says, hold on, I am working. In all things, I am working for the good for of those who love him. The Lord says, the storm will pass. The storm will pass. What you're going through, you're going through. What you're going through, you're going to go through. And you will get through on the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to get through on the other side. Better and safer and stronger and wiser. Wiser. How many of you have been getting wiser through these things? Yes. God is using all of these things. I've told you stories about my life. When we first came down here to Florida back in 2011, we came, we had finished our assignment in Staten Island, and we had no particular church to go through. We really didn't have a salary. We had a home that was, we were renting. Some friends of ours who were in Canada allowed us to rent their home very, very reasonably. Very nice of them to do that. But for 2 years, I worked in a company as an account manager in a construction company, my brother's business. And boy, I felt what it was like to be in the workplace. You know, because a lot of people in church might think, Pastor, you don't know what it's like out there, you know, in the workplace. It can get brutal. How many of you say amen? It can be brutal out there. God used that because he knew I needed to grow up in some things. He kind of, you know, knocked the pride out of me at times and showed me that I was not all that in a bucket of wings. My brother said, you know, you have so much training and leadership and you've been so experienced, you know. So I want you to talk to the whole staff. It was about 15 people, 20 people, about leadership. And, like, I could hardly get their attention. They were, like, snickering under their breath, you know, treating me like I was a complete fool. But, you know, it wasn't pleasant for me, but was I glad I learned some stuff out there? I learned some humility. I learned that, you know, we got to understand what other people go through. Don't just think you know it all. Number three, this is the last one. A maturing believer learns to make decisions based on principle, not just on feelings or convenience. All right, so I'm going to repeat them again. The maturing believer is motivated by love, most of all. Maturing believer sees that trials and temptations are an opportunity to grow and that God's doing something behind it, something better. And number three, the last one, a maturing believer learns to make decisions based on principles, core values, not just feelings. I'll give you some examples. Let's compare Joseph versus Potiphar's wife. Joseph is doing great. Got out of prison. He was made the manager, steward of the captain of the bodyguard, right, for Pharaoh's house. This guy, you know, had hit the big time. Do you know that there's a lot of danger sometimes even when you're successful? There's temptations out there. And you know the story. Potiphar's wife started to look him over and started to come on to him, and her intentions were not exactly honorable. Somebody say amen. Amen. And day after day, she tried to seduce him. She tried. And somehow, God said these words. Joseph said these words. How could I sin against my father? How could I sin against God? Now, this is a man who was sold by his brothers as a slave. betrayed. Imagine having your family. What do you have? Eight brothers? Nine, 12, 11 brothers, right? 11 brothers. So yeah, let's not kill him. First of all, they wanted to kill him. You know, that would do something to your self-esteem right there when your family wants to kill you. How many of you know that could ruin your whole day right there? I'm feeling a little problem with self. I've got a little scar because my family all conspired to kill me. You could carry that wound for many years. But here he is in a situation where now he's got it made. His boss wasn't around, and this woman who's flirting with him, and so he runs. He runs out of there. He runs from temptation. He runs from temptation. Somebody say it with me. You run from temptation. It's not just my boss that I have an account to. I'm being submissive to and accountable to my boss. It's to God. Why should I sin against God and my boss? Then there was Ruth and Orpah. These were the two daughter-in-laws of Naomi. When the husband died, the sons both died. Naomi was a widow. Now these two girls were widows also. And Naomi tells them both, go back to your home, go back to your families, go back to your gods, to your, you know, your idols, your pagan gods, and so on. And Orpah, she does. She finally, she cries, says, no, I want to go with you. And then she finally goes back. But Ruth said, do not forbid me from coming, because wherever you go, I'm going to go. Hallelujah. Your family will be my family. Your gods will be my gods. Wherever you stay, dwell, I will dwell. There's a person who, you know, was facing an unknown situation, and all the odds were against her. Her father-in-law had died. Her husband had died. She's a Moabite. She's going to now live with the Jews. And they weren't exactly friendly relations between the Moabites and the Jews. And she made a choice based on principle, based on convictions. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? And guess what? She ends up in the field of Boaz and becomes the great-grandmother of David, King David. Not bad to have Ruth in the lineage of Christ. Not a bad result, right? I close with this. Choose integrity over emotion. And I can tell you, I've seen it both ways. I'm old enough. I know I don't look old, but I haven't said that in a while. Where's Brother Joe? Brother Joe, remember that time you told me enough of that? But it slipped out. It slipped out. I'm old enough to know both sides of this, that I've made decisions based on anger. I've made impulsive decisions. I've made unwise decisions. And I've always regretted it every single time. Every single time. One time, I'll give you a quick example. How many of you give me 5 more minutes? 5 minutes. All right. For the two of you, the rest of you, go home. How many of you here? 5 more minutes. Okay. I was in the church, our church in Seaford, Long Island, and my wife reminded me, said, you know, honey, you need to give the folks a reminder to come on time. People have been coming late, later and later, everywhere. And we were renting a facility, and so we had to be out at a certain time, you know. So I got up, and I said, you know, folks, you really need to be here on time, and, you know, this is important. It's the house of God. We should be respectful, this and that and that. Most of the people were fine. There was just one sweet lady in the back who thought everything I was saying was focused at her. And she thought I was angry at her and that I was calling her out, because just so happens, of all the times she come to church, last week she was late. So now she's thinking that I'm telling this whole thing about her, and she was ready to leave the church. She's crying. I had to go to her house. I had to make up with her, and I'm like, dear Lord, every time I just, you know, say something too strongly or too impulsively or with a little bit of anger or whatever, I always get in trouble. So, but anyway, God knows you have your conscience, and to grow to your full potential, you got to make decisions out of convictions. Decisions based on convictions, even though it's hard. Even though it's hard. I'll keep on loving. I'll keep on forgiving. I'll keep on saying yes to God. I'll keep being a man of God. I'll keep being a woman of integrity. And I close with this. I got this revelation while I was praying on Friday that God is like a gardener. John 15, it says, Jesus said, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser, or the gardener. The gardener, the one in charge of the garden. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes so it can bear more fruit. And I started to think about this on my prayer drive on Friday, that God has been patiently cultivating our hearts where he wants to plant the nature of Christ in us for years. This is a word for the church. God has been patiently cultivating the ground of your heart. Woo! God wants to do a deeper work of grace in your heart, just like the four soils in the Bible. The one soil that was fruitful and productive was representative of a good and kind heart that received the seed, and it produced much fruit. And the question today is, are we allowing God with his hoe and with his tools and with his pruning scissors, all those garden tools? I was actually going to bring in some garden tools, and I forgot, and I left them home. So you'll have to use your imagination, okay? I want you to picture seeing God, you know, with his garden gloves on and with his snipping shears and his hoe and his rake and all of those other things. God is cultivating a life of obedience in us. Hallelujah! God, like a good farmer, a good gardener, trying to produce much fruit, healthy fruit, abundant fruit, the best fruit. Been patiently with some of us, including myself. And get those weeds out of there. Come on now, somebody say amen. Get those noxious things out of there, that bad attitude, that exaggeration, those little white lies. Oops. Come on now. And this is the word, I believe, that God said, you to give this word to the church, that I've been patiently gardening your heart, cultivating your heart for years, because I want to produce deep love, I want to produce deep faith, and I want to produce deep obedience. Will you stand together right now? Let's give God praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Lift your hands to the Lord. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We admire you. We respect you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to respond to this message. We want to be people who make decisions based on integrity, based on convictions. And one last thing, it just came to me. There's no shortcut to maturity. There's no quick instant this and instant that. It takes time, and it takes consistency. So help us, dear Father. Let's all say that. Help me, Lord, to be mature, God. I want you to be pleased with me, Lord. I want you to find obedience in my heart. I want you to find love in my heart. And I want you to find faith in my heart, Lord, because you are good, and you deserve everything I've got. You deserve all, Lord. You deserve the glory, Lord. You deserve all I've got, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter.
You are the potter.
I am the clay.
I am the clay.
Mold me and make me.
Mold me and make.
Lead us, Brother Joe.
After thy will, while I am waiting. Yielded and still.
Yielded. Would you do this morning if you mean it? Don't do it if you don't mean it. Just kneel before the Lord. You can hold on to your chair, kneel behind your chair, whatever, as a sign of yieldedness to God. Say, God, what the pastor said is what I want. I want what the pastor said. Would you kneel? You could still face forward if you want to, as Brother Joe leads us again in this chorus. Go ahead, brother.
Have thine own way, Lord.
This is me, Lord.
Have thine own way.
Yes, God.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Pastor Angela, join me for a moment. Have thine own way. Would you utter some prayers to God right now? Have some prayer with God. Do business. Do business with God right now in your heart.
Thou art the potter.
It's a wonderful, intimate atmosphere here. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Help my heart, Lord, to be like clay in your hands, O God. Say yes to Jesus. Say no to those bad habits. Say no to fear. Say no to doubt. Hallelujah. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
While I am waiting,
yielded and still. Please return to your seat for a second. Just remain seated for a second.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We just wanted to make sure that we allow time and reverence for the Holy Spirit to do his good work here. I don't know about you, but I feel like the eternal gardener is here. Hallelujah. The great builder of the house of God is here. Thank you, God. I want to make sure, God, you speak. And I ask you, Father, as pastor, to speak to every heart. Don't let anyone leave this place without hearing from you, God. Give them ears to hear and a heart to obey.
Yes, yes, I love this song too. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes. Can you stand with me? To your will, Lord, I'll say yes. Where you lead me, I will go. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say. I can't tell you how many years I was afraid to pray this prayer. I had so many desires, so many things I thought I wanted to do. And I thought that serving the Lord was religious, was just, you know, a bunch of do's and don'ts and just following church rules. But you know, little by little, God started getting a hold of my heart. Someday I got to just tell you the testimony. My heart was hard in many ways. And God started pointing out and showing me, like Pastor said, how he was cultivating my heart for him. I am so grateful because it has been the greatest adventure of my life. Things are always new in Christ, whether you're a Mary who's just a teenager, she was birthing, or an Elizabeth who was a senior citizen, she was still birthing. So hold on, no matter what age you are, God has an adventure for you. But it does take that yieldedness, or we can go off on some crazy tangent. So just, I just encourage you to embrace the purpose and plan of God. You know what? You're going to serve somebody. People are saying, well, I'm not going to serve Jesus. I'm my own person. Guess what? You're serving somebody else. And it's not a pleasant person. I just challenge you today to let the Lord cultivate his love.
Yes. Cultivate my heart.
Be a Jesus tree.
Yes.
I like that. I want to be a Jesus tree, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We need not fear the one who loves us perfectly. That's a word for somebody. We need not fear the one who loves us with a perfect love. So we embrace your plan. We embrace your purpose. And we say yes to you, Lord. You are the motivation of my life, God. Lord, help me to make choices, build on the word of God and the principles you've established in my life, in my conscience, Lord. And Lord, help me to embrace your plan, to recognize at those times when I feel weak, that you are stronger, oh God, and that your purposes are greater. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless this congregation, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for these men and women and children who are here today and who are watching. We pray blessing on you. We pray the favor of God, the willingness and the passion to follow his plan and purpose, his salvation for your life. There's nothing greater. In Jesus' name, have a great week. God bless you. We'll see you at prayer Wednesday at 7 o'clock. God bless you.
God bless you. Give somebody a virtual wave or hug virtually. And God bless you. We would encourage you all to come back to prayer on Wednesday. We need you to pray. Need you here.